Are you Michael Jackson?
That's a great point.
Or are you Rashad White? And I'll tell you who's not Michael Jackson is Buck Irving. I got one more concern. What if there's no Cuban sandwiches?
All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back here at Hooters. Unbelievable. The Sage, 2 days in a row at Hooters. Classic Ira Kaufman comes here, Lee, before we arrive. I'm having a burger. Waitress comes over. Give me a chicken sandwich.
Steve, you got to go with the flow, right? Lee, you got to. You don't go to the Primanti Brothers and order a soup and a salad. That you don't do. So here we are. I am declaring training camp over. It is over. The 2024 Buck Training Camp, Lee, it's in the books. And I got two words for you. Nondescript and uneventful. And I'm sticking with it. Nondescript and uneventful in terms of injuries, distractions, holdouts. Nondescript. And don't mention Randy Gregory. You can't mention him on this podcast.
Yeah, I can't. Forget Randy
Gregory.
We don't
go there.
Well, first off, it happened. It wasn't like we were hallucinating. Number two, if the Bucks would have got anybody else, that guy would probably still be here, might make an impact with the team. Instead, they got a guy who basically wanted to drink bong water at home. He couldn't get off the couch because he's so stoned, and he didn't ever show up. And the Bucks are sitting there with eggs on their face, which they should by thinking that guy was something.
Let me counter like this, Lee. When Randy Gregory's status is your main training camp issue, you've had a hell of a training camp.
But it's not like it never happened.
It happened. But we never thought the guy was going to contribute anyway.
Well, I thought he stunk to begin with. That was me.
All right, Sage. So, nondescript, but you were very descript today. You're wearing your Bill Curry Ford polo shirt.
Yes, I am.
You were out there mingling with Sal Palantonio from ESPN, who we're going to hear from a little later in this podcast. We'll get to that.
Talked a little bit to Rob Madai from Associated Press.
With three people outside of us, no.
And who was the guy?
Hi, Rob.
There was a guy there today, national, I think.
Albert Breer.
Well, besides Albert Breer, but who was the guy who swore he was a guest on this podcast but wasn't?
Joe Shad. Joe Shad from Palm Beach, I believe.
I think he was from your buddy Pug.
Yeah, Palm Beach Post.
I've never seen anything like that. He swore he was a guest on this podcast 2 weeks ago. The guy needs to retire.
He comes up to me, he goes, "Hey, I was on Ira's podcast this summer." I'm like, "What?" I said, "I would know this. When were you on?
Do a podcast with somebody from the Palm Beach."
Yeah, but you were there. He insisted it was with you.
And then when I gave him my email, he backtracked.
Well, I told him, I said, "Are you sure you're not confusing Clark Judge?" He goes, "No, I recalled me." I'm like, I said, "Did this happen when I was in Europe or something?" Because it must have. I did the podcast.
What this means is, Ira, there's an Ira Kaufman impersonator out there, and that's trouble.
That's
but I'm sure.
That's a scam artist. That's a scam artist.
I wonder if he's a wealthy man, Ira. Well.
Joe Shad does a good job, but I did not call him.
Sage, that also means that your Ira Kaufman impersonator drives a Bill Curry Ford vehicle just like you. They're a mile north of the stadium here on Dale Mabry Highway. Not too far from where we're sitting at Hooters, BillCurryFord.com. The end of the month is here, Ira, pretty much. We're just about there. That means for the fantastic offers that Bill Curry Ford, they might be ending this month. You never know. That includes beating any advertised price by $100. That includes the Ira Kaufman discount. That includes various 0% financing offers. Get to BillCurryFord.com. They'll take care of you with service, body work, but you want to buy a vehicle, that's where you go.
Steve, is Sean still doing that initiative where not only will they match another dealer's offer, but beat it by $100?
That's what I just said.
Nobody does that, Steve.
I feel like I'm talking to Joe Shad.
Well, I'm thinking about my chicken sandwich, obviously. But that is a fantastic.
You're thinking about some other things here.
That's a fantastic incentive. Look at Lee. I got Lee going over here.
So, anyway, Bill.
Easy, Lee.
BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com.
I can't remember these things, Lee.
Shop there today, and family-owned makes the difference, Ira. The Curry family, 66 years or so, there.
That's going to cost you a curly fry, Steve.
Go for it, Ira. Enjoy.
Right
enjoy.
Here, right here, baby.
Later, we'll talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, helping homeowners across the Tampa Bay area to Orlando and beyond across the state in their time of need with fire damage, storm damage, flooding, mold. Call them. But go to their website first, floridaselite restoration.com. We'll get into a little bit more about them later, Ira. Today's practice, I'm going to throw this out first. Hold on.
Before you throw it out, I'm going to throw this out. And, Steve, I don't think you were in the room when he said it, but I think it set the tone. Graham Barton asked about today's practice scrimmage against the Dolphins. said, quote, Lee, quote, we came out flat. We came out flat. Now, I'm not denying that they did, but that begs the question, Steve. Why? Why? They didn't start well in Jacksonville last week either. So what's going on?
No, came out flat in Jacksonville as well. And there was that bus issue that we talked about, the team bus issue. So maybe that was a decent excuse.
Today there was no bus issue.
There's Albert Breer on FS1 behind us talking about the Bucks. Maybe he's got an answer. But no excuse for the flat. And I'm glad you brought that up, Ira, because yesterday Luke Getteke spoke. And Luke Getteke went out of his way to say that the Bucks, their goal is to score first in the preseason game and get put up a touchdown in the first series. And we know they didn't do that all year last year. Lee had written that story about how two-thirds of the team that score first, not necessarily touchdowns, but if you score first in the NFL, you're going to win 64% of your games.
I like that percentage.
Over the last 10 years. And so if you're focusing on scoring an opening drive touchdown, you can't come out flat against the Dolphins on your home practice field. So a little bit scary, but Sage, we're going to come right back. And a hidden break here on the podcast as you maul that chicken. We'll be right back.
All right, so Graham Barton says they came out flat. Ben Bredesen has officially been named the starting left guard. No surprise there. Lee, does that leave us in any competitive situations? Maybe Nickelback? Maybe?
Yeah, I think Smith's
job to lose. Lee?
It's only quote-unquote competition, if you want to call it that. Right now, you have a number three receiver A and a number three receiver B.
Right.
Until I see otherwise, it looks like, just going by the number of snaps. I'm not talking about ability. I'm just talking about number of snaps. It looks like Palmer's still the starting wide receiver. That could change in a heartbeat.
That could change, yep.
I still think whoever's the number four is basically a 3B. He's going to get damn near as many snaps as the other number three, maybe more.
Well, I don't think there's much of a competition for the backup quarterback job. I think it's Trask's job.
It's Trask's job because Walford's in the tub, period. That's all there is to it.
Bad time to be in the tub.
Bad time to be in a tub. Now, 2 weeks ago, if you would have asked me who was the last two receivers to make the roster, oh, it's a no-brainer. It's Rakeem Jarrett and Sterling Sharp. Now, I doubt that.
Not Sterling Sharp.
Shepard.
I always do that. Sterling Shepard. Shepard's in the tub. This Cody Thompson, who I think accurately I used to refer to as camp meat, and there's another piece of camp meat, Cameron Johnson, they're getting a ton of targets the last few days, and they're making plays. And you always hear coaches talking about it. If you get an opportunity, you've got to take advantage of it. These guys are taking advantage of it. And I'm not going to say who, but I was speaking with someone with the Bucks, and these two guys are absolutely on their radar for the 53 roster because they're making plays. And I asked someone, I said, are you giving these guys targets because you're seeing something? Like, absolutely, that's why they're getting targets.
So, Sage, here this is interesting because I asked Baker Mayfield yesterday, do you expect to have input in the bottom of the roster receiver decisions? Something I'm going to write up today. And he said no. Now, I don't believe him. I thought he was going to say something like, well, you know, they asked me for a lot of things.
I think they'll ask for his input, Steve.
He really downplayed it, you know, as far as that's not his decision, and he's more focused on other things. His exact quote I don't have in front of me, but I don't believe it. I think he has input. But Shepard is his guy. Shepard, I heard on a totally random podcast that I listened to, Shepard said that he came out of retirement for Mayfield. He was not planning to come back. He was still training, but was not planning to come back. And Shepard is the kind of guy, if he's not healthy now, if you liked what you did see, and he did have some really good practices, and that's a guy who can help you a lot later in the season when he's healthy. And the Bucks seem to, Jason Light at least, has clung to some older receivers in recent years to have on the roster. I'm curious to see Mayfield's pull, because I think he wants his guy Shepard there. Also, Rakeem Jarrett, that's a Jason Light guy. That's a guy they were real high on last year. He's been banged up. Do they just give up on him? I think both of those guys are going to make the roster.
Lee, in terms of giving up on Shepard, I'm going to be a little patient with my fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers. First of all, I'm not expecting the number five guy to come in there in the first 2 weeks and make a significant contribution.
I agree.
The fifth receiver, when you got Shepard and you heal him up, and then you see what he's got, and he's got a connection with Mayfield, I think it's a big advantage for Shepard.
Well, I'd say the first couple weeks of training camp, you know, every once in a while someone asks me about Shepard, and I'm like, I'm not ruling him out for number three yet. Obviously, he was a step behind Palmer and McMillan, but I said at the time, I'm not ruling him out yet. He's He's a solid player, but you can only do so much if you're hurt. Now, before we get ahead of ourselves here, the bottom two receivers, let's be real. It's how they impact special teams. If they can play special teams, that's going to be the factor.
Just like the extra linebackers. How are you playing special teams?
Yeah, I mean, remember Lewis Murphy? Lewis Murphy was a decent receiver, but he didn't play special teams. He got bounced because of that. And like a general manager had told me years ago, if you're not a starting football player, you better be able to play special teams or you're an endangered species. That's what he said.
That's right.
So with Shepard and these other guys, this Thompson and Raheem Jarrett, all depends on special teams.
So, Sage, it makes
sense. I'm with you. I wouldn't write off Shepard, Steve.
No, but it does set up a fun final preseason game because, if you remember, years ago, Adam Humphries made the team from the fourth preseason game having a huge night.
Ended up making some catches for the Bucs.
He got a huge contract. He turned down the Patriots, went to the Titans, and stuck around, was with Washington. But he caught 80 balls here the year before Arians got here. So,
punt returner?
Punt returner, solid. Nothing great, but solid. Also, you had Russell Shepard years ago, who made the team, was a special teams ace, and caught a few balls. Sage, what else did you see out there?
McMillan continues to make some plays.
Oh, yeah.
Late. Not an inordinate amount of drops for Jalen McMillan. I'll keep my eye on him Friday night. I'm also looking at Tyke Smith Friday night. I want to see him make some plays. Will he blitz? Could he blitz? Maybe Bowles holds that back till week one.
That's fair.
So, as far as running backs, now, Steve, you saw a play where you said, Rashad White didn't get the job done.
Huge amount of daylight for Rashad White. He was there, and he sort of like pulled up to stutter step when he didn't have to. Like the hole opened probably like a eighth of a second sooner than he thought, and he got caught dancing. We've seen it before. It's a huge. We talked about this last podcast. So
that's the running back Rashad White I know and not so love.
Yeah. So interesting for him. But one big news of the day, Ira. Huge news. Was Kalijah Kancey coming back?
Yay!
And undisclosed injury previously, and he was back.
You were starting to think it could be a little more serious.
Well, he didn't practice in pads last week, but he was in full force. So I watched all the one-on-one pass rush that the Bucs had. Kancey won both of his tries against the Dolphins. Got to the quarterback. You saw the lateral quickness. You saw the explosion. Looked like you want to see everybody on the field. Vita Vea also won twice. Once the guy slipped, but you could tell that Vea, he might have slipped because Vea was in there so quick. Everybody on the edge who rushed, no good.
I think Kancey's a very exciting player.
He's very intriguing. Yeah, I'm very high.
Got to stay healthy, Lee.
Like everybody else.
That injury really set him back last year till midseason, really, when he got going.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be very dynamic, Lee. Right. Maybe a better version of Gerald McCoy. And that wouldn't be a bad thing, Lee.
No, we're not. I mean, I know there's McCoy, GMC's got a lot of haters. We know that. But the son of a gun made, five Pro Bowls in a row?
I think it might six.
Yeah. And then people mock the Pro Bowl. I get that. But, it's not like Sabian Piscitelli was making Pro Bowls.
So, Sage, also I saw out there, honestly, Kyle Trask had one or two fantastic throws. But I think he had one or two picks.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't look good. He looks like a lower tier mid-tier backup.
Is he too mechanical?
He just makes too many bad plays. Look at the end of that preseason game. I'm sure you probably already had...
I watched the end of the
Everybody
game.
Loves Raymond on, but what was... what was Kyle Trask doing on that last play? He mismanaged it at the very, very end of the game.
Yes, he twisted himself into a pretzel.
And he took a sack that he wasn't supposed to take.
Just when Rondé was screaming, you can't take a sack.
Yeah.
And there he goes.
He took a sack in a preseason game. It's just...
throw it away.
These are his opportunities. Those preseason games are his Super Bowl.
And tape for other teams.
I was more impressed with Kyle Trask last year.
Well, that's a good point. He was better last year. Well, Trask, yesterday, he had one beautiful pass, and then there was one, he hit Anthony Nelson in the face, and now Anthony Nelson was running an inside stunt where he was generally a defensive tackle list. He was inside, and he gets hit in the face by a Trask. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Steve, you don't think he's the modern day, remember the great line about Steve DeBerg? Just good enough to get you beat?
DeBerg was better
and
than
DeBerg
Trask.
And DeBerg was better, yeah.
Steve, if you agree with me. Every time Trask makes a pass, I think we got something here. five or six plays later, he'll just have a ghastly play. And you're like, oh, man, I don't know. He's very inconsistent.
Yeah, too many just not smart plays. But I don't think he's terrible, but he hasn't improved, in my opinion, Ira. And I don't like it. Doesn't mean he won't be ready if something happens in week nine that he can't step in and throw some good passes. But, man, the thought of having Kyle Trask as the quarterback and not having a good running game, that would be just the worst combination ever.
Another pick from McCollum today, Lee?
Yeah, to his first pass. To his first pass, McCollum picked this. So, thank you for saying this. I don't think I said this earlier. I was watching the one-on-ones. Bucks defensive or Bucks cornerbacks against Dolphins wide receivers. Cheetah Hill was not playing.
They're all backups. They're all backup wide receivers, right? They're backups.
Well, they're not. They're not Waddle, and they're not Cheetah Hill. The top three Bucks cornerbacks, that Bryce Hall, of course, Jamel Dean, McCollum, they did fine. They did okay. The rest of them, the burn center at St. Joseph's, were very busy this morning. They got roasted, man. And you know what? I feel bad.
And you think Hall's a little handsy.
Hall can't go to a clothing optional establishment because they'll get arrested. I'll just say that. And I feel bad. This is the second time I've made this mistake.
Lee's coming up with lines today, Steve.
This is the second time I made this mistake. Years ago when Vernon Hargraves was a cornerback.
Another name that never should grace the Ira Kaufman podcast.
When he was second year, I think, the Bucks corners in training camp, I thought were playing lights out. Now, I can only go by what I see. They weren't in joint practices. They weren't in preseason games yet.
Was Alteron Werner out there that year?
Probably, yeah. And they were going against Bucks receivers, Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson. They were stopping these guys. And I'm like, damn, the cornerbacks are really playing well. Well, as it turns out, they were crap. And I made the same mistake this year. A couple weeks ago, I wrote, man, this secondary looks deep. I even told that Jason Light, we're really proud of our defense. And, man, did they get lit up today. Except the top three, again. Dean, Bryce Hall, McCollum, they played well. After that, it was, oh my gosh. Eminemer, baby, as Dick Vitale would say.
Sage, one thing I noticed out there, and I don't know if Lee agrees, maybe not. I saw a lot, maybe it means absolutely nothing. That's why we need your wisdom. I didn't see a lot of enthusiasm from the Bucks sideline compared to the Dolphins.
Absolutely.
Who were much more engaged, screaming, jacked up for their teammates.
Absolutely.
Very low-key today, Lee. Very low-key from a Buck perspective. The fans didn't get involved. The heat was brutal today. It was.
Well, we had cloud cover, so
we had cloud cover. It goes back to the flat, coming out flat. A little relative lack of enthusiasm. Maybe they're beaten down after a month of hitting each other.
Come on. Yeah, I mean, it's not like the Dolphins weren't practicing. And in fact, I don't know if the Dolphins did this, but the Bucks had so many days off. 3 days of practice, day off. 3 days of practice, day off. So I can't go there. But I have this in my notes. I haven't typed up my notes yet. But what Steve said, I have it in my notes. When they went goal line, you would have thought the Dolphins were in an actual game.
Yeah.
The way they were celebrating, the way they were hooting and hollering, they were into it, man.
That's practice ended with Calais Campbell getting his
giant paw fully
extended, batting down a Baker Mayfield pass. But the Dolphins sideline went crazy, but that wasn't the only time it went crazy. One thing, Ira, you know, you talked about wrapping up the training camp and you started the podcast with overall impressions. I get the feeling, my summary, if I had to put a Sage subhead on this, the Bucks feel that they can flip a switch come September 8th. And I think
it's a very dangerous mindset. And I don't disagree that seems to be prevalent out there, Lee. Mm. It shouldn't be. I mean, what are you feeling your oats after going 9-8? I mean, take it easy.
Take it easy.
This division can't be that down for that long. It can't be. That just doesn't happen in the NFL. Maybe Atlanta goes out and wins 10 and 11 games. Maybe. I'll tell you what. 8-9 ain't going to cut it this year for a division championship.
Probably not. Can I say something positive? You know, Bucks fans, all is down. And I'll say something very positive here. Day one of training camp, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin looked like they were ready for the regular season. Not one play, not one incident, nothing has told me they're not raring to go.
I don't have any questions about those two. They're primed.
Ready. Well, and that goes to the point, which is the Bucks have the star power. They have the dogs to unleash, assuming everybody's healthy. The Veyas, the Canseys, the Diabies,
the Winfields.
The Davids, the Winfields, those guys. And the guys Lee's talking about on offense, I'm not talking about Rashad White, this me personally, but they got those guys to unleash, and so I get the confidence, but like you said, it's a dangerous slope in some ways, especially for a team that went 9-8 and barely beat Carolina to get into the playoffs. Again, I don't know. I mean, I think they're sort of taking the demeanor of their head coach. Now, a lot of fans won't like that, but I think that's kind of what they're doing.
And that's true. Most teams do that. They take on the personality of their coach. That's right.
I got to think they're going to be hyped up for Washington.
Sure.
September 8th.
You would hope so. You're talking about the flip and the switch, Steve. I haven't heard you talk about this in a while, but you used to talk about it all the time, and you're right. The DeMar Dotson comment, how the Bucks thought they could just show up and start winning, and they got their ass, the clock cleaned in New Orleans. Was it New Orleans?
Arizona. A long time ago, but...
And you talked to DeMar Dotson after the game, and he told you that.
Yeah. Well, that happened last year, right? They went 3-1 to open the season. They had their bye week in a bad time. They did a lot of interviews, and they sort of admitted that the bye week didn't come at the best time for them. They kind of were feeling it a little bit. Now, this is opening day at home. If you're come out flat, that gets the owners on the phone to the to the potential new head coaches and their agents. You know how that goes, yeah. Ira. They start feeling it out.
That was a hell of a first quarter of the season, Lee. 3-1. You can't argue with that. You know, and who'd they lose to in that span?
Philly.
Philadelphia beat them up real good.
And Philly was playing great.
Beat them up really well. All right, Ira. A few things before we get to our special surprise here. So, Florida's Elite Restoration is who everyone has to call the moment they have a disaster at their property. That means even if it's 3 a.m., on a Saturday night, you've had a couple of drinks, and you realize, oh, my gosh, I've had this leak under my sink.
A pipe burst, yeah.
For maybe a week, and I didn't even know about it. Or my problem with my dishwasher was leaking behind the wall. And call them up, and they will come out and give you a free evaluation with the greatest technology. And when you call, mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan, and that means $500 is waiting for you if you eventually need their service.
For your deductible.
For your deductible
or
cash in your pocket, yep. If you want to go around insurance, like all the guys you know in your neighborhood, Ira, they're like, we'll pay cash. So that's how you do it. And the biggest thing you have to do is go there now so you know what they're all about. Florida's Elite Restoration.com, all across the Tampa Bay area, to Orlando and beyond across the state. And we thank Bill Curry Ford, who buys Ira's shirt. Beautiful there, Bill Curry Ford.
You're love this shirt.
A walking billboard for that dealership, Ira.
Love this shirt, and I wore the hat the other day. Now I got the other hat, Lee. I'm going to alternate.
The newsboy's hat.
Yeah, I got the newsboy. I'm going
to
alternate.
You got to quit tilting it to a side. You look too European.
I'm going to wear the Curry hat to the game Friday.
Now, I want to ask our subscribers. We have many, many subscribers, Ira. The evidence shows that we have more subscribers on the podcast platforms than anybody else. As far as that data that can be seen, so we know how that goes. Not here to gloat, but you know what?
If we also have more readers on Joe Bucks.
Now that
goes without saying.
That's ancient history, Ira. Go leave a review for Ira's podcast. We haven't had one in a while. It raises the profile of it. We got 395 reviews on Apple. I'd love to get it up to 400.
What can we do better?
Well, no, just say what you like or you don't like. You know, yeah. You don't have to write a book. Just say Sage is great. We hate the hat. We saw it on Twitter, that kind of thing.
I would lay $20 that 70% of the comments are, get that stupid SOB decamper out of there.
No. So go leave a
more,
review.
It's more like 80.
Leave a review for the podcast. And if you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the podcast. So legendary ESPN Sal Palantonio was here at practice today.
I talked to him. He sounded like he was going to be very busy post-game.
He had a crew with him.
Yeah, he had a crew, and he I forgot who he said he was talking to after the practice, but he was zeroing in on a guy.
He had a crew with him. He was busy working the field. Now, Sal, I'm going to say this, Ira. I don't know Sal personally, but he can be a bit of an ass. All right, so
he's a Northeasterner.
He's a curmudgeonly Philly guy to a point, and he was the guy who yelled at me in the Bucks locker room in 2002. I was just there freelancing. I was standing on his microphone cord, and he talked to me like I was just some mutt dog that ran up and peed on his leg or something. Anyway, I know he knows you from the Hall of Fame, and I asked him to tell his best Ira Kaufman story. So here it is.
The reason why I call Ira Kaufman the closer is because I've been on the Pro Football Hall of Fame Enshrinement Selection Committee for 12 years. And there's nobody that commands the room better than Ira Kaufman. He's done such a great job with so many great Tampa Bay Bucks over the years. But I remember very specifically, none of us were going to put in Warren Sapp. First ballot, Hall of Fame. And his presentation was so beautiful, so impactful. He just demanded your attention in the room. And the way he spoke so eloquently, it was like poetry in motion. It was the greatest single presentation I've ever seen. And it convinced me to put in Warren Sapp ahead of Michael Strahan into the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
So, man, I tell you, nobody's done a better job of presentation in the Hall of Fame than Ira Kaufman.
Would you say that year that was pretty much the majority, like 80% weren't going to do it, and then he flipped them?
He flipped the script on everybody. For sure, with Warren Sapp. Hey, I'll tell you, when he gets up and gets that microphone, the room goes silent and we pay attention to Ira Kaufman. That's the reason why I call him the closer.
So again, if you fast forwarded the podcast, that was Sal Palantonio telling his Ira Kaufman story. Now, Ira, he said...
This is 10 days after you roasted me, Stevie. 10 days later.
Sal Palantonio just said in his 12 years on the Hall of Fame voter panel, you gave the greatest single presentation he has ever heard. How does that make you feel?
Well, it means I peaked early, Lee. I peaked early. That was the first Buck presentation that I did. I had done Ed Sable 2 years before, but Sapp was the first Buck representative. I knew I faced a big challenge that day with the writers and their antipathy towards Sapp. Partly I understood it. Partly I didn't like it at all because it had nothing to do with the reason that we're there. To judge him as a football
player. Play on the field.
The only thing I can say to Sal Pal is I want you at my funeral, Sal. You'll make my wife tear up over there.
That was a hell of a testimony.
I appreciate that, Sal. I do. And Steve, great job going to get him.
Now, Lee, I talked to Sal on the side without the microphone a little bit, and he really emphasized that Ira commands the room. And I said, you think Zoom, this whole Zoom nonsense with the hall has hurt Ira? He said, a little. Mm-hmm. A little, you know.
Neutered him.
He's like, Ira's a character, you know, when he stands up.
I like to stand up. That's right.
And he's like, you know, he made a little joke, you know, kind of saying when Ira stands up, you're not really sure he's standing up. You know, but he said, really emphasized that it wasn't just Warren Sapp, that Ira's presentations are powerful. And we know there's a whole faction of people out there on social media who think Ira's a terrible presenter.
Yeah.
He's lost his fastball.
It's all yours, dear. It's all yours.
Doesn't know what he's doing.
Thanks,
but the important thing to know that I would come back to anybody who says that is Ira knows the room. And he's not there to sell TikTok on a Hall of Famer. He's there to sell that crowd and what they're interested in. He does a great job.
I remember, oh my gosh, 6-7 years ago, I was sitting with Joe Horrigan. For those who don't know, Joe Horrigan, at the time, ran the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He's still involved.
Great guy. And he said one of the best presentations he ever heard was Ira nominating Steve Sable.
Ed Sable.
I'm sorry. Horrigan said Ira blew the room away. And I think it was Peter King that said that the one that sold everybody was the
Muriel Berkowitz
line.
That was my first presentation, and the guy's 95, Steve. I got one chance to get this guy in. That's a lot of pressure.
Life and death on the line. Ira, so that speaks for itself. We don't need to sing your praises anymore.
And now I'm in a holding pattern, Steve. What am I, waiting for Mike Evans to retire?
Well, there's
Simeon Rice.
What you need to do, if you want to be smart, reach out to Ndamukong Suh. Get his number. You can get that in 2 seconds. Say, look, Ndamukong, you have a good chance you'll be a finalist pretty fast, if not the first year, because of your resume. I'd like to present you. I want to sit down and talk about it.
You know, he's played for so many teams, he might want to go in as a Buccaneer, winning a Super Bowl.
That's the only ring he's got.
Look, he didn't play long enough in Los Angeles or Detroit or Miami to have a firm stronghold on a sports writer or something, or a city. I think you could do that. Todd Bowles would give you his number in a second. So I challenge you, Ira. You're on the clock in three years or so.
Sue's got a lot. Another, maybe 2 or 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
I can hang on that long, Lee.
Simeon.
You're all over.
He's got to be a finalist. He's got to get to the final.
Well, Ira's got some work to do.
I got some work to do.
Your second on your list is getting Mike Evans' first ballot. You try to pull that off.
5 years ago, I said he wasn't a Hall of Famer. you know, what do I know?
That was 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah. Times change.
So, Ira, as we head out of this podcast, we got a football game Friday night. You're going to be out there patrolling as you do.
I want to see some starters, in the words of Rondé. I want to see some good football
is
players.
Is there anything, this is the last question, but it's important. Is there anything that you could see on Friday night that would be troubling for you? Anything that could shake you off, anything, your projections, your feelings about this team right now?
But besides an injury, I'm looking at Rashad White. You know, you're going to start. You're going to get six carries. Not so much how many yards did you get. How did you look doing it?
Yeah.
Are you dancing? Are you Michael Jackson?
That's a great point.
Or are you Rashad White? And I'll tell you who's not Michael Jackson is Bucky Irving. So, Rashad, don't be looking over your shoulder. Somebody's gaining on you.
What is Bucky Irving? Angus Young?
Anything that could scare you in these worthless preseason games, Lee?
The trainers tending to anyone on the field.
There you go.
Anybody injured? All right. Well, I don't.
Well, wait a minute. I got one more concern. What if there's no Cuban sandwiches?
That would be a problem. Let me throw in this also. Chase McLaughlin made all his field goals today.
Bowles gave him a vote of confidence the other day, and he took it to heart.
All right, get that Cuban, Ira, and we'll see you this weekend.